one thing that is important, that the new government is very clearly distancing itself from this previous administration's cover-ups or acts of administrative forced disappearance of the students for so many years. And in fact, the president, López Obrador, I think for the first time explicitly said that the attacks against the students had been a crime of state. The president articulated what had been for years the call of the families and of protesters in the street, fue el Estado. It was the state. It was a crime of state.
And finally, we just have 30 seconds, John, but how would you relate the U.S. funding of the drug war to the mass migration of Mexicans into the United States?
Very quickly, I mean, I think the U.S. drug war hasn't always been a racist and neo-imperialist tool. It's never been about controlling substances that are dangerous for communities. And the arrest of Cienfuegos is just one more example of how the highest level federal officials in charge of supposedly policing the drug industry are the ones actually administering it. This goes back all the way to the 90s with General Jesus Gutierrez Rebollo, Noé Ramírez Mandujano, and the Calderón administration, of course, García Luna, and now Cienfuegos. The United States is obsessed with controlling and perpetuating this drug war, which wreaks terror on communities, connecting it to migration. I was in the Central Valley, California. Migrants that are fleeing situations of terror that are provoked by the U.S. drug war.
We want to thank you both for being with us, John Gibler and Anabel Hernandez. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Stay safe, wear a mask, vote.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8 a.m. It's Wednesday. It's time for Wednesday Talk Radio program with your host, Paul Rowland. Stay tuned.
And good morning, everybody. This is your regular Wednesday Talk Radio host, Paul Rowland, talking at you from the KBOO studios. How exciting. It's nice to be here. Just me and Sonia, all alone in this big, vast KBOO studios here in inner southeast Portland. Anyway, and yes, we're having some elections coming up. I bet you knew that. And it's not just the big one with the big boys punching it out. Anyway, there's lots of local state elections. There's a whole slew of state Portland and metro ballot measures, some of which are very, very interesting. So this next hour is going to be your opportunity and not just Portland. Of course, we have listeners out there in the Gorge, Hood River, White Salmon, Bingen, Goldendale. We have people down in Corvallis, some even parts of Eugene, I believe, Salem for sure, and other parts. And you have some interesting local races that you might want to talk about. So this is kind of a free-for-all. I'm going to, you know, if nobody calls in, or as I wait for people to call in, I should say, I'm going to be reading probably some of the ballot measures, talking about some of the races I see as interesting, and wait for you to call in at 503-231-8187. And before we do all that, I just want to express my appreciation for those of you who have helped us get 6/8. That's 3/4 of the way through our fall membership drive. We have reached, probably it's at 60,000 by now. It was nearly there last time I checked. Our goal is 80,000. And we're going to be doing this through October 31st. And we have a matching grant. So every dollar that you donate through October 31st will be matched one for one up to $4,500. And That's an anonymous matching grant from several anonymous people. We thank them very much. And as I said, I thank everybody. This is, you know, these are extraordinary times. Nothing is as it was, seemingly, except you're hearing some of your regular voices coming at you from KBOO, like mine. Hope you like it. And this is a different thing. It's a spaced out, non-call-in membership drive. Usually we do a, you know, two weeks around, very intensive, interrupting the programs every 6 or 8 or 10 minutes. We've got the pitching crews talking at you, explaining why KBOO is so important, but you already know why it's so important. And so if you haven't taken the time and effort, and it's so easy, oh so easy, just a click of the mouse. Of course, there's also the old snail mail, which a lot of people still find a way that they prefer to do it. Whichever of those ways that you choose. As I said, we got $20,000 still to go, and a little less than 2 weeks to do it in, but I think we can do it. So please, 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 if you're able to, send us some of your hard-earned cash. And that's KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Or just go to kboo.fm on your device, whichever form that is. There's so many these days. So you'll just immediately, you can be directed to how to make your payment. This is listener-sponsored radio, and we thank everybody who listens, even if you don't contribute, but we wish you would, if you could. We especially want to thank, as I said, everybody who's contributed, and especially, you know, we want to thank those people who are able to contribute on a monthly basis. It makes everything easier, our bookkeeping, and makes us, you know, makes us know that we're going to get that money in every month. So if you can do that to whatever amount, we really appreciate that. And not sure where this soft reopening is going, but this is phase one, having our morning show host. I'm not sure who else has actually come in, but I really like the booth, so I like being in here. Okay, enough of all that. So 503-231-8187, let's talk about the elections. I mean, I guess there's so many other things to talk about. You could talk about that too, but I'm sure there's a lot of people want to get in on this. I'm interested in this United for Portland group, which apparently has some local unions involved. And I'm sure many of you, like me, have gotten these. I've got about, I don't know, maybe 10 of them, these big, glossy, probably very unrecyclable mailers. And Sarah Iannarone has, I guess that's sort of the Italian way of pronouncing it. Sarah Iannarone, I guess, is probably pronounced in American. She's gotten her share of abuse, I've got to say. And there's one in particular. Again, it's from United for Portland. Whoever, I tried to look them up. Oh, they do have unitedforportland.com. I was trying to find them, find out exactly who is backing them. Anyway, I'll just read this. After 5 long months of violence and protests, electing Sarah, in parentheses, I am Antifa, Iannarone, would only make things worse in Portland. I don't know. I personally actually haven't decided. I couldn't really say if I had about this race. You know, there's Iannarone, there's Wheeler, and there's a write-in effort for Teresa Rayford that's still attracting some attention. Been seeing some posters around town and a lot of lively chatter on Facebook about that issue, which is, among so many things, dividing the progressive community. But anyway, just I don't know. I think it might backfire, this campaign. It's got these cops in riot gear, one of whom is obviously beating on a protester. So, I mean, are they tacitly approving of that? I find it a strange message. How about you? And so that's one thing, these mailers and what they have to say. Then, of course, there's the usual more straightforward sort of done in a sort of a voter's pamphlet style. Our Oregon has their 2020 ballot measure guide. It's very clear and handy. I think I agree with all their yeses. Yes on 107, which strengthens campaign finance reform. I know there's some groups that are opposed to that, but it seems like overwhelmingly. The groups that I tend to support are supporting that. Yes on 108 reduces youth vaping, so they say, and I think that's probably true. It puts a tax, finally, on e-cigarettes and increases taxes on cigarettes and cigars. So they say yes on 108. I agree with that. 109 creates a regulated psilocybin therapy system. Isn't that revolutionary? That would be the first one in the nation. So they say yes on 109. I agree with that. And then 110 expands drug addiction treatment. I've been reading up on that. There do seem to be some opposing views, but the view that seems to be there's these sort of on Facebook there's these testimonies, and I'm a little questioning of them because there's these long testimonies that seem to be cut and pasted by people from people who are former addicts who are currently working in recovery and treatment, and they say it will legalize it's a stealth measure to legalize drugs. I don't know. It seems to be a lot more than that. I guess there might be aspects of it that are criticizable, but I don't know. It seems like it does. What's wrong with legalizing drugs? The prohibition certainly has been a disaster. Anyway, yes on 110. I'll agree with that. And then there's a number of others here, but it looks like we got a caller already. Joe, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to speak to the library bond, which is a Clackamas or a Multnomah County wide measure. And just wanted to say why I am not voting for it. The library has chosen to go forward with this bond measure, which it had been working out for well over a year, well before COVID. And they decided to not table it for a year or two until we get through the pandemic and the ensuing economic turbulence that it's causing and will probably continue to cause, but maybe more directly to the merit of the bond architects. Responsibility with massive amounts of money. The layoffs that they pushed through this summer were deeply harmful to the library and to the community, and we are only beginning to see how they will unfold as the layoff process had culminated earlier this month, the end of last month. We need more libraries. They have a pretty unassailable pitch about equity and the distribution of library spaces across the county and how the historically white part of Portland has more library space compared to the increasingly black and brown parts of the county and eastern county. But between the fact that we don't know whether we're going to fall further into a recession or depression in the next year or two, coupled with the library management and the county commissioner's complete negligence in laying off library staff rather than employing them to serve the community with very fallacious and dubious reasons justifying them, it should make folks question whether giving those same folks $387 million for buildings is a wise choice.
Well, you'll probably be able to talk a little in more detail, but since you brought it up, can I just read real quick the measure so people have a very clear sense? Okay. So question, darn my reading glasses, which I got so I could read the small print in the voter's thing, are now fogging up because of these masks. Does anybody else have that problem? I'm sure anybody wears glasses does. All right. Shall county expand, modernize, rebuild, acquire, and acquire land for library facilities, issue $387 million in general obligation bonds with oversight audits. If the bonds are approved, they will be payable from taxes on property or property ownership that are not subject to the limits of sections 11 and blah, blah, blah of the Constitution. Okay. If approved, this measure would authorize up to $387 million of general obligation bonds to finance capital costs to increase the size and update library facilities across the county. Specifically, the bonds are intended to enlarge and modernize 8 county libraries, some in each part of the county, build a flagship library in East County, similar in capacity to downtown Central Library, expand, renovate, or construct 7 branch libraries, including Albina, Belmont, Holgate, Midland, North Portland, Northwest, and St. John's, add gigabyte speed to internet, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Yes, it does sound like at first glance, hard to argue with, but you're saying that the finances are shaky and that there's some trust issues with the people who are going to be carrying this out.
And I think that when folks think of expanding public services, they think that it means adding jobs, and this bond adds very few, like maybe 10 or 20 jobs, and is predicated on kind of neoliberal restructuring of the library to do more with less. So that is another thing for folks to consider, what they're supporting if they support that bond.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I said my piece. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Joe. And anybody else want to weigh in on the library? That would be fine. Let's see. We got in 503-231-8187. We're talking about the elections. We can talk about other things. We can talk about Harvey Scott, who just came down on Mount Tabor, which I thought was very interesting since I go up to Mount Tabor on a regular basis living in that neighborhood. That's another thing we could talk about. But let's go and see what James have to talk about. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. So I wanted to also kind of piggyback a little on what Joe said. You know, I've heard stories of people, especially Spanish-speaking library workers whose jobs were cut for no real reason in very suddenly, in a way that affects those who only speak Spanish, to be able to disenfranchise them from using the library, which in some ways for some people is a super important resource. So definitely bringing that into question. But in terms of local elections, the things that I'm seeing in terms of the psychedelic mushroom therapy and $110 for the drug issues, my biggest thing is other countries have legalized drugs, and we need to understand that drug addiction is a mental disease. It's been classified as a mental health issue. People are so stuck in this idea that people who use drugs are like these, immoral, degenerate people, which is, how it's often been coined, because, even if you go back to the earliest days of marijuana use, it was a way to disenfranchise black people in particular, but brown people too. But, drug use is one of those things where it's like, if they can continue to place the responsibility on the person rather than looking at the idea that drug use drug use as a mental health issue is intimately twinned with the economic crisis for indigenous peoples. It's also an ecological crisis because, you know, you spend, gosh, what's it been, like 550 years? You spend 550 years living in your house, but everybody's telling you that it's not your house and that you don't have a right to be there. Yet you know in your mind, in your heart, due to your ancestral lineage, that this is your house. So you live in a constant state of schizophrenia, you know? It's like people, if you had to place the responsibility on the people who have actually been causing the problem, that's where I see the hugest problem. It's why we don't address a lot of these big issues, is because people, you know, like he was saying, you know, it's this, you know, it's been 40 years of this neoliberal restructuring in society where we put profits before people. And the people who've done this, they just think it's like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, money, people work, whatever. But it's all these other social problems that have arisen from it. I mean, I lost my brother to an opioid overdose because, you know, he's working too much and, you know, not getting enough time. And people using drugs, they call it, you know, diseases of despair, you know.
I'm really sorry to hear that. That's a terrible thing.
You know, it is a terrible thing. But, I mean, it's like, people want to place that sort of stuff on the people who do it, but it's like people are doing it to take their mind off of what's going on. You know, we don't have any strong movements that can really address this because most of them were destroyed in the name of anti-communism. So
let me just
and I apologize for, you know, kind of going on a tangent there, but I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, we have to, I mean, if it means legalizing drugs in order to address the mental health issues, then that's what we need to do, because, you know, legalizing drugs would do a justice to the people who are currently incarcerated for nonviolent drug offenses, because of so much of the privatization of prisons depends on a 70% recidivism rate. So if you can remove any sort of way from them to have that power, absolutely. But we have to start realizing there's more going on here than just it's so huge and complex that I feel like it's like, I mean, even these elections.
Can I just interject for a second? Talking about the drug issue is, I mean, obviously the social justice and equity issues are undeniable, and the manipulation and utilization of drug laws for, you know, social engineering purposes is one of the more disgusting aspects of this racist capitalist culture. I do want to push back a little bit. It seems like you're possibly conflating or mixing the use and the abuse of substances. Of course, the line is never clear. I think that, you know, I think it's pretty well known that people have used substances ever since. I mean, where did it all start? And I think there's, you know, animals, you know, get high or drunk or whatever. I think there's sort of a, I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily call it an innate drive, but I think there's something when one finds those substances and they have certain effects. I mean, there's even theories that psychedelics actually had a role in the development of human consciousness itself. But, you know, without getting too deep into that, I just wanted to kind of flag that. You know, psilocybin, the use, the legalization is generally for therapy, for treatment of depression, anxiety, PTSD, which it's psilocybin and other substances have been shown really, really great results in. But it's also used as an exploratory thing. And I think that's also something that should be acknowledged. And I think that a lot of people who are in support of it are also, you know, it's a kind of a twin thing. It's, you know, the
well, I mean, I agree with that. Okay. I mean, I absolutely agree. But what I'm getting at is that, you know, it's like my ancestors used psychedelics as parts of, you know, as parts of building their consciousness. I'm well aware of that, but the problem is the reason why it's illegal. You know, a lot of things that were banned is because of, you know, especially in that realm. I mean, I'm not gonna go. I mean, it was banned on our end for colonialism's sake. Anything that allowed people to be able to resist was banned, even down to food. So, I mean, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, even if we're talking exploratory, you know, quote unquote exploratory use by, you know, what the colonial powers want to call it. But I mean, even then, I mean, other countries have legalized drugs, and it's yes, it sounds like a scary thing, but it's like in reality, drug use has been classified as a mental health issue. But as long as we have drugs criminalized, we'll never look at it as a mental health issue, which will never truly address the root problems. Yes, people get high. I'm not taking that away from it, but you got to look at the numbers. You got to look at the reasons. I mean, you know, it's like people, when the social bonds are broken, which they clearly have been, people are going to turn to ways to be able to fill that void, whether it is drugs, whether it is gambling, whether it is sex, whether it is whatever is going to give them the ability to take their mind off of it. But it's all realizing that those things stem from the same place. And as long as we continue to criminalize people who do those things, or we draw like ridiculous lines, like, you know, like psychedelic mushrooms and weed are illegal, but you can drink yourself to death because that's totally illegal.
Well, your point is well taken. I certainly agree with everything you said. And let's give other folks a chance. Thank you for calling, James, as always. 503-231-8187. There's a lot of measures. We talked about the psilocybin and the addiction and treatment measures. And we've talked about the library. And got an alternative. I would say alternative because I think it's probably safe to say most people would tend to put money. I'm always amazed how many of these bond measures pass in Portland and Oregon. Obviously, you know, before COVID, the economy was going a lot better, and people were able and willing to put money into good things. And of course, we'll see how COVID actually impacts these bond measures. I want to talk about another more local. I think it's a county measure. It is county. Measure 26214, universal preschool. That's a hard one to argue against for me. It's a way to shift resources, let us say. It's a tax on a modest tax on the highest income earners, creating the ability for everybody to access preschool in Multnomah County, tuition-free preschool, and also fair wages for the teachers. So I would agree with our Oregon, yes, on 26214. Then there's 26218, which improves safety and sidewalks, endorsed by unions, BIPOC leaders, climate activists, and small businesses. 26218 improves safety in sidewalks, reduces congestion, and expands clean transit while creating 37,000 family wage jobs. I could read that. That sounds like a good one. If anybody wants to talk about that or any of the others or any of the local races, looks like Kathy wants to talk about one or more of these things. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Paul. So I'm calling from a distance, actually in Eugene at the moment, but I'm interested more in statewide races. Although I did, before, I have a couple of questions. Let me just put them out and then you can talk. One was, I loved Teresa Rayclip, is that how you say her name?
Teresa Rayford?
Rayford.
For the write-in for mayor?
Yes, I met her last year and talked to her for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, and I was very impressed with her. I'm sorry to hear that she's not one of the leading candidates for mayor, but if it doesn't divide a progressive vote for someone else, I don't know all the issues there, but I did want to at least put in a good word for her.
Well, the official candidates are Sarah Iannarone, Ted Wheeler, and actually I'm sure there are others, which I will look up as we're talking, and she's been promoted as a write-in candidate because she didn't actually reach the, I think it's just actually Iannarone and Wheeler, since it's a runoff from the primary, and Teresa Rayford didn't reach the minimum amount to be in that runoff according to the current rules. Of course, ranked voting would change that. Anyway, so yeah, that's the deal on that.
So who's running against the Wheeler, and could you say more about that person? And then before, I'm going to just let you talk. I also want to ask, is anyone, because I know down here in Southern Oregon, Jeff Golden is a very good person who got into the House, I think it's the Oregon House, and he's certainly somebody to support.
Okay.
But are there any House or sort of statewide issues that you could talk about? And then I'll stay online, but I'll let you talk.
Well, I was looking for people who wanted to talk about what they're passionate about. I don't feel comfortable as a talk show host with the Fairness Doctrine, all of, you know, talking about Sarah Iannarone and Wheeler and Rayford. Okay. I think it'd be an interesting discussion for our listeners to weigh in on. Iannarone, I guess, is considered to the left of Wheeler, I think, universally. Apparently, Wheeler considers himself a moderate Democrat, I heard on OPB. I guess if OPB is saying it, he must acknowledge that. Beyond that, I was just talking about these mailers that I've gotten from United for Portland, which I found rather disconcerting and were, I don't know, I just put out there that maybe they're going to backfire. Anyway, so yeah, if anyone wants to talk about other races around the state, I'd be up for entertaining that.
Okay, well, I guess I should put in one last thing, and that's I do support the idea of drug treatment. I was a former very intense cannabis user, and been clean. It's not usually the word you use for cannabis, but yeah, I've been sober for over 10 years, and I love my sobriety. I mean, I had a real problem with it, and it was helpful to me at the time because it was illegal. It wasn't being advertised and all over the place. There is something to be said for at least keeping advertising out. I think when things are legalized, they should not be pushed with free samples and with advertising.
So you're saying yes on 110, which expands drug addiction treatment.
Yeah.
Okay, because, great.
Yeah. Anyway, and also to legalize psilocybin, I think is a very good idea. And there's no reason to persecute that through any kind of, there's just so many good things.
Heck, it grows in our pastures all around the place.
Yeah. Okay.
How more natural could it be? Well, thank you, Kathy, for calling in. 503-231-8187. Anybody have a particular race or ballot measure that you're interested in? This is a good time to weigh in on it. the prize for, I just thought this was rather ironic. Sometimes bigger isn't better with, I guess it's a couple of those Japanese horror monsters on there and the Titanic and a big skyscraper. Anyway, it's against Metro's wage tax. And let's see. Oh, I guess the group is just called Stop the Metro Wage Tax. Anyway, this is so huge, this mailer. And they say sometimes bigger isn't better. I just thought there was a certain irony in that. But I guess there's really only a certain year amount of utility to criticizing the political mailers that are sent out. But yeah, in terms of counterproductive, I guess that would be counterproductive to me, this sort of grotesque over consumption thing talking about. And I suspect it's from the people who would be taxed. So I don't know. Again, this is Metro has, mixed record in terms of their efficient use of resources and other issues. So whether or not that's a, my inclination is that, I'll go to the ballot measure and read from. But it looks like we got either the same Kathy or a different Kathy on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hello. Oh,
hi.
Karen. Sorry.
I just wanted to weigh in on Sarah Iannarone. I'm going to vote for her because I heard her talk about the environment, and she is a strong environmentalist, and I at least appears to be. These days, I'm a little bit cynical about everything, but I'm going to vote for her because we desperately need an environmentalist in that position and in every other position. So,
you think Ted Wheeler hasn't been up to the job?
I kind of like Ted Wheeler, but I do think he is. He was a little bit slow with the tear gas thing. He wouldn't do anything about stopping the tear gas even after he got tear gas. I didn't like that. I think Ted is a builder's guy, but Iannarone may be as well. I just don't know enough to accept. I have heard her speak about the environment, and she seemed very dedicated, and she had ridden her bike all the way from somewhere in East County down to Northwest 18th in the rain, and I thought that indicated that she was dedicated to the cause of, mm-hmm. of environmentalism. So that's okay. Why I'm going to vote the way I'm going to vote. Anyway, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. Anyone else want to weigh in on that or other issues? Looks like we've got Art. I do want to say that I do have a Facebook page, KBOO Wednesday Talk Radio, if you want to like or follow that or whatever it is. And you can interact with me while I'm on the air if you want. I've got something you don't want to maybe talk about on the air, a point that maybe a point of correction or whatever it might be. KBOO Wednesday Talk Radio. But Art is the next up. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello there, Paul.
Hello.
I finished my ballot and sent them out. I voted for Sarah Iannarone because I believe Ted Wheeler is dishonest. I don't believe he's an honest man. He's a developer's insider. He'll approve any project that comes its way, and most of what we've seen during his years as mayor is apartment blocks and high-rise hotels. That's all kind of landlord property, and so that's a class of people that he's closest to, developers. And some of the development I absolutely disagree with, mm-hmm. oversight. And then I'm also voting against him because that project of Metro, putting light rail on Barber Boulevard, they rigged those studies. Those studies were rigged, like predetermined outcomes, because then they knew they could get more developers to follow along and do a little land grab and put up whatever properties that they can build along Barber after taking out at least 1,000 to 1,500 trees and replacing them with asphalt. So they're not telling the public exactly what that project is, and you could say it's Doug Kelsey over at TriMet, who's made many mistakes during his 4 years there, closely working with Ted, and we're being ripped off, basically. I voted down most of the measures for beauty projects, and I did support the one police commission.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I should have mentioned that I am totally in support of. That's
That seems logical, but the big issues to me is that Metro project. They're lying about that, whether it's worth doing. And I analyzed it up and down, and none of the promises they're making about it are true. Ted Wheeler is covering up a crime. Oh, yes, he is.
Okay.
And if he gets voted in, and if that measure passes, it'll go to court. And Ted will have to answer in court for how badly that, I guess you could say, Chloe Udalli has to be in there too, but TriMet, they're all got people convinced that it's a good, worthy project, and they're hiding all the information the public needs to know to make an informed decision. Those are kind of my points.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Art. Good to hear from you. 503-231-8187. Anybody else want to call in? Let me just ask Measure 26217, which authorizes a new independent community police oversight board. The measure adds a charter section authorizing an independent police oversight board appointed by the city council, members from diverse communities, particularly those with lived experience of systemic racism and those who have experienced mental illness, addiction, or alcoholism. Shall not include current law enforcement employees and immediate family members or former law enforcement employees. Board size, members' terms, term limits to be determined by city code. And it goes on, powers and duties, investigate all deaths in custody, uses of deadly force, complaints of force causing injury, discrimination against protected classes, constitutional rights violations, subpoena documents, access police records, compel witness statements, including from police officers, impose discipline, including termination. All these things are those that strictly voluntary, strictly advisory, which just about every community oversight in the country has been advisory. I don't personally know if this would be the first or one of the first such oversight boards with real power to actually impose discipline and subpoena documents, access police records, but sounds like a good step. Ballot measure, the City of Portland ballot measure 26-217. Looks like we got Felicity up. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling regarding the ballot measure about the TriMet. And one thing that I've noticed is that TriMet really has not responded to a lot of community concerns, especially after the murders that occurred on the TriMet train. They really have not implemented, they even reached out to the community and asked for community suggestions on safety. I know I gave feedback and a number of other people did, but I haven't decided how I'm going to vote on that particular measure, but I am hesitant to say, oh yes, go ahead and spend a bunch of money on expanding when they still have not responded to a lot of community concerns about safety, especially for people of color, for women, who don't feel safe on the MAX or on the buses. I know I had a scary experience where I was not able to reach the little blue button that you can use to call for help, and I was being sexually harassed, and no one in the TriMet car did anything. And TriMet, one of their ideas was to have like a safety officer rather than, you know, hiring these fare inspectors who hop on the car and just ticket people for not having paid their fare, having a safety officer who would be able to keep people safe in situations like that. That was one of the suggestions that I saw from the community, and there were like four other suggestions too. And I haven't seen any of those be implemented, and that was months ago that they reached out to get community input. So I'm just wondering, I don't know whether this potential expansion would take money away from implementing some of those safety measures.
I am not the person to to give you an informed answer. So this is Metro Measure 26-218 that you're referring to, that we've been mm-hmm. talking about? Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested to... I'm sorry to hear about your personal experiences. And yes, I know there's a lot of concern. Certainly the whole issue of police on Max was stirred up a hornet's nest. The general response to the needs of low-income people, I know they have finally responded to that. So it takes a lot of effort. I wish I could speak intelligently. I guess I'll just read, since we're talking about this. Ballot title, funds traffic safety transit improvements programs through tax on employers. Should Metro fund roads, transit, safety improvements, bridge repair, transportation programs by establishing a tax on certain employers, 0.75% of payroll? Of course, the devil's in the details. Some of the things that they want to develop are a rapid bus network. As Art was talking about that, the line up Barber Boulevard, I don't know if there's others, bridge repair replacement. Anyway, so yeah, anything else you want to say about that? I don't really have enough knowledge myself.
No, I mean, that was my only thought is, you know, I'm wondering whether that's the best investment of the money, but... and whether it would take away from safety, which I think is important, especially for women and for people of color. But thanks for your thoughts on it.
Thank you. I'm sure there's people who know a lot more about that than I do. How Metro, you know, funding, TriMet funding actually works. And anyway, looks like we got a couple other callers. We got Joey up first. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just calling in about the Alliance PAC and United for Portland. Uh-huh. So I heard you brought them up earlier on the air, and I didn't hear anyone actually say who the top contributors are, which I thought I'd just, you know, chime in. It's Nike, Standard Finance, and Schnitzer Industries, which is a steel manufacturer.
Yep.
So it seems like Ted, once again, kind of backed by big business because he can't really raise money locally because of new financing laws. So it's just kind of sad to see that he's kind of falling back on industry support, which I think is a big red flag to anyone who wants environmental, you know, reforms done or help for Portland. So that kind of makes me go very strongly towards Sarah. So yeah, that's kind of my main thought.
Yeah, no, and their messaging is kind of discouraging.
They also want to put like unions forward on. That support them, whereas in their actual financing is, you know, industry.
Yeah, but then again, the unions who are supporting them are tacitly, are, you know, going along with the program, and I haven't heard them speak up, even though I've seen them called out on some social media. But it has it right at the top contributors Alliance PAC. And the top three Nike, yeah, it actually does say it. I didn't have to go to their website. And of course, a bunch of real estate people real estate is like one of the big ones, which obviously we know that Ted Wheeler is supported by the real estate and building industries in a big way. Anyway, thank you for chiming in on that. Anything else before we let you go?
No, I mean, I think Teresa Rayford seems great and she's done great work, but I think, I don't know, I don't want Ted in, especially with police accountability and him kind of falling short on that. Seems like Sarah would actually stand up more to the police than him. So, yep, kind of my thoughts.
Okay, well, thank you. I know that's a tough issue that, you know, a lot of people support Teresa Rayford. Some people feel that would be a vote for Ted Wheeler, other, you know, I won't get into all that. I don't have anything to say on that myself, but it looks like we've got another caller. Elliot, yes. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Well, this discussion of the issues on the ballot is 100% plus appropriate for talk show mission, but I'm going to take a very brief break from it because of a major event in the left community radio world that hasn't been well reported. About 5+ years after WBAI in New York summarily had to lay off and dismiss their entire news staff and their payroll staff, WKPFK in L.A., for basically the same reason of chronic operating deficits, had to lay off their entire news staff within the last couple of weeks. And if anybody wants to learn more about the structural stability of Pacifica, I have told certain people that the audio transcripts of almost all meetings in Pacifica is banked in the cloud of the KPFTX, the Texas Pacifica website, kpftx.org. And if you listen to some of those, you know, you rapidly realize that a $3.2 million loan that was made to right a situation with the Empire State Transmitter in New York from years back, which has been accumulating interest more toward $5 million, is coming due this coming March. And with most of the stations having operating deficits, you can hear people say, you know, in these self-appointed non-fundraising posturing boards that they have in Pacifica, people saying, oh, you're just being catastrophizing that we put up the broadcast studios of both KPFK and KPFTX as collateral on these loans and we can't repay them, you know, and, you know, you shouldn't spread rumors like, you know, they spread rumors in the Trump world. Well, you can do simple arithmetic. And my comment, I sent an email to your station manager saying that, you know, there's been a graying all across Pacifica, both primary stations and affiliates, you know, since the 70s. And that one oddity about KBOO is that there is a certain amount of public affairs programming in both late night and or weekend in the other main Pacifica stations. And given this is just as a general observation, given the extreme precarity and overburdenedness of the work and income situations of most millennials, I suggested to the manager that A, they kind of synthesize the podcast and second stream capabilities at KBOO and put in a dedicated phone line for call-ins for podcasting and allocate, you know, certain times when, you know, people could have a podcast show that then goes on to archive, and also that to accommodate crushing schedules rather than just catering to retirees home Monday to Friday a.m. To designate like maybe one late night a week and one or two blocks in the Saturday Sunday weekend.
Okay, well, we
just for public affairs, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Elliot. Those are interesting suggestions, and we since you've already sent them to the station manager, I don't need to do any more with them myself, but it's probably good for other people to hear them. Okay, we got only about 6 minutes left, and we have Harry up. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Paul. How you doing? And thank you for taking my call. First, I'll be voting on that that Metro. I suggest everyone to vote no because they can raise the rates at any time that they want. And most of it's going to be used to pay for the, I think it's either McAdam Avenue or Barber Boulevard where they're setting that new line. And a lot of people are upset about that, so this is a good way to probably put the brakes on it, you know, because they won't have the funding. Next is our mayor. Wheeler is one of the richest people in Oregon, and he used to be the treasurer of the state, and now he's mayor. And I think a lot of the city has a lot of money, and I don't think he's handling it very well. Example of the big pipe and the financing for that. And also, don't forget, the city of Portland takes in a lot of money because of the Water Bureau. We sell water to companies, we sell water to different cities, and we take in like $4 to $5 billion. That's $4 or $5 billion we don't have to pay taxes on. On different projects. So protecting that is very, very important. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Harry. I noticed there is a Water Bureau bond also, which seems like a lot of group support, but there's some criticism. I know there's been a lot of criticism of the Water Bureau, rightly so, over the years. But this authorizes new water fund spending and addresses land use. That's a 26219. That's the city of Portland. But let's hear what our perhaps last caller has to say. Marcos, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Right now, Ted and Sarah are in a very close race, according to the recent polls. And ironically, some of the people that least like Ted Wheeler would be helping Ted Wheeler win by writing in Teresa Rayford.
I was wondering if Abe was going to call in to say that. That's definitely a big issue, yeah.
It's a zero-sum game. A vote for Teresa will not be a vote for Sarah, and that can only benefit Ted. And so the people that least like Ted Wheeler will ironically be helping him by going for the long shot of Teresa Rayford, who only won a single-digit percentage of the vote in the original contest back in the spring. Ted Wheeler's been very much weakened by all his tear gassing and all the shenanigans of this summer. But right now, the race is very close.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very worried about this write-in campaign as being just enough to diminish Sarah Ayanna Rowan's chances. And that would be, to me, tragic if people that are pushing for Teresa actually help Ted.
Well, I wonder if anybody who supports the write-in candidacy has any response to that. Are you still there? Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. But that's something that I know a lot of people think. And so it's good to put it out there for people to hear. Obviously, people are going to make their own decisions. I've been watching some of the conversations. Obviously, some people, especially people been working with Don't Shoot Portland, been working with Teresa Rayford, who respect her organizing and her politics, obviously are just supporting that and maybe not thinking in the same way that Marcos laid out. But so anyway, that's obviously if it is a close race, then whatever, votes are going to count. As I said, I'll just put it out there. I actually haven't made up my mind yet. So for whatever that's worth, which is not very much. But well, we only have a minute left, so I guess I won't invite anybody else to call in. It's been interesting. We only got to a few. I knew that that would be the case, since anybody who gets these voters pamphlets, which are hundreds of pages, there's both the Oregon general election and the Portland and Multnomah County. And so, yeah, there's a lot out there. I think these ballot measures do have serious ramifications. So I think if you're only voting for them, I think you can do a lot of good. I've put out some of my yeses, and definitely the measure for police accountability is a big one. Could be a bit of, as they say, a game changer. And we didn't talk about hardly any local races or national races, which is fine since they get talked about plenty. And everybody's got to make up their own mind. I'm going to vote. I encourage people to vote. I respect people who think that voting doesn't do much. But I think in these times, it is definitely one of the places where we can make our voices heard. And well, that's all I got to say. I make my voice heard every Wednesday morning from 8 to 9. And one more reminder to people that we are counting down. We are 3/4 of the way in terms of money raised, but we still got $20,000 to go by October 31st, and we have a matching grant, which means that anything you contribute up to $4,500, be great if someone could do that, is going to be matched by anonymous donors 1-to-1. So go to kboo.fm and go to they direct you right away to the fundraising, or send us a check or whatever to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. Thank you, Sonia, for board operating today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about